On Wednesday, a panel of three federal judges in the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals heard oral arguments about whether the Indian Child Welfare Act is constitutional. ICWA, as the law is known, was passed in 1978 and prioritized placing Native American children with Native families in foster care and adoption proceedings. But in 2017, a lawsuit brought against the federal government argued that ICWA was discriminatory. A federal judge in Texas agreed in one of the most significant challenges to ICWA in decades. Now, more than 20 states and hundreds of tribes are urging the Fifth Circuit to uphold the law. Matthew Fletcher is the director of Michigan State University's Indigenous Law and Policy Center, and he's a member of the Grand Traverse Band of Ottawa and Chippewa Indians and a judge on their tribal court. Matthew, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you.
So before we talk about the specifics of this legal challenge now, what is the Indian Child Welfare Act? Give us a sense of the history and what it was designed to do.
Congress passed Indian Child Welfare Act, we call it ICWA, in 1978. And at that time, state agencies and state courts had presided over the removal of about possibly as many as one-third of Native children throughout the United States from their homes during the middle part of the 20th century. And that history, those statistics were starkly illuminated by many years of hearings in front of Congress in which Native women, Native children testified about how they were removed from their homes or they lost their children without due process, without the right to counsel or the ability to be heard in state court. And also that most of these kids were removed. They were sent to foster parents, foster families, or adopted out by non-Indian families. Most states had a policy that they did not want to use Native families as foster parents. And this is just another example of history in which Native children were removed from their homes going back literally centuries in the United States. Now we have the history of Native tribes and Indian people being tormented by the United States.
Particularly when it comes to separation of children and families.
That's absolutely right. The earliest policy of the United States, even during the Revolutionary War, was that if you're going to fight a war with Indians, the first thing you do is take their kids from them and you hold them as hostage and try to negotiate peace that way.
So tell us what the case is that we're talking about today, Brekeen v. Bernhardt.
So it's a two-pronged attack, I guess you could say, in terms of the state of Texas and two other states have filed this lawsuit. And they've been joined by individual families who are attempting or have actually already adopted Native children. So the arguments basically are that the Indian Child Welfare Act, by creating a statute forcing states to provide certain services and burdens of proof and other rules to Indian children is a violation of the Fifth Amendment equal protection component because it provides services to Indians that is allegedly race-based. And if that's the case, then much of the Title 25 of the U.S. Code, which has Indians on the spine, could be struck down as a violation of equal protection, so to speak.
Matthew, I just want to stop you there for a second because it's a little, this is a really confusing case and I want to make sure I'm clear. Are the families we're talking about white families that adopted Native children? And if so, what is the issue? What is the racial component of this that we're talking about?
So what is happening here is, I don't know that they're white, but they are non-Indian families who have petitioned to adopt Indian children, and a whole series of rules is triggered even before the adoption process starts. The first thing that happens is Indian children are removed from their homes or their biological parents' rights are terminated by state court. The Indian Child Welfare Act requires a whole host of burdens of proof and obligations to the states to prove that termination of parental rights was properly done. Once termination of parental rights is completed, then an Indian child can be adopted by anybody, really. It's just that if there are multiple adoptive parents available, there are placement preferences hoped that would preference Indian families over non-Indian families. So the argument here from the individual non-Native families is that the ICWA discriminates against them on the basis of race.
Now, what does the law say about that? Are Native Americans considered a political identity, or a racial group, both, and if so, or one? And if so, how does that impact the law?
Well, that's a good question. The Constitution references Indians explicitly twice. So Indian tribes are mentioned alongside foreign nations as sovereigns. And so the fact that the Constitution mentions Indians as both a parts of sovereign entities within the United States and as separate, I guess you could say, racial or ancestral people in the Constitution, somebody's got to make that definition. And that treaty relationship, that constitutional relationship, requires federal government and states and Indian tribes, of course, to make decisions on who constitutes an Indian for a particular purpose.
Native children in the United States today are disproportionately represented in the foster care system. Is this challenge essentially preventing Native children from being adopted and taken out of the foster care system? What are some of the issues that you see here in terms of that disproportionate increase?
Well, the data suggests strongly that the reason Native children are overrepresented in state systems is for two reasons. One, there are more Native children proportionally who are in extreme poverty in a lot of these states like Minnesota and South Dakota, where most of the tribes have, or all the tribes in South Dakota really have no financial resources to have a good economy. So there's just more Native kids proportionally who are poor. And the second part of that is something that ICWA can't really cure. It can only try to allay, is that it is true that state social workers, state judges remain biased against Native people, both in terms of how they raise their kids, what they look like. You see state judges on the ground referencing child-rearing practices of Native families as being somehow foreign and just don't meet this white middle-class standard that most judges and social workers apply to them. So when you have more poverty and you have this bias against Native families, that accounts for the disproportionality.
Matthew Fletcher is the director of Michigan State University's Indigenous Law and Policy Center. Thanks so much for joining us, Matthew.
Thank you very much.